for us this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16. On Sunday nights, we've been doing questions people asked. And 2 weeks ago, we had a question on what is the lake of fire? And we went through the scripture about that. And the lake of fire is the final judgment for Satan, for the beast and false prophet, for all the demons, and for all those through eternity had unbelief in Christ. They did not believe in Christ. People who don't believe in Christ are in hell today. And hell is a place of continual torment. But then that goes into the lake of fire at the end of time when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And all those that were in unbelief go to the lake of fire. You know, there's a lot of people that basically think lightly about hell. In fact, they'll use it as a cuss word. And they want to send you to hell. Hell is a place that no one wants to go to. And I guarantee you that those who have found out that there is a hell want out. But the issue is that where we spend eternity is made on this side of death. And so the title of my message this morning is, you do not want to go to hell. Some people may say that to you, but they don't really want you to go there. They don't know what they're talking about. And we need to understand this, and it'll be a little bit of review from two Sunday nights ago, but there's some concepts in here that we need to understand. When we look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to avoid hell. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your salvation. Lord, I pray today that we would understand this truth, and Father, that the truth would change our lives. Father, I pray that today if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, that you help them to understand their need to escape hell. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Satan has no place here today, although he's going to fight. Lord, help its truth, the truth of your word, to change us and that we would leave here knowing you and following you. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And our text this morning says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, full disclosure, this is not the same Lazarus that God raised, that Christ raised from the dead. Different one. Okay? And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. He was in a pitiful state. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in what? Torment. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said Lazarus, I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have my brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Today, I want to preach on a topic that most churches don't preach on anymore. We like to hear good things, but the reality of it is, Christ talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And it is a fearful and a forsaken part of the Bible. Fearful because of the subject that's involved. I was studying for this and looked up some surveys. And one survey said that only 8% of the churches make the doctrine of hell part of their preaching. A lot of people, especially the prosperity gospel, they don't want to know about that because it discourages people. People get offended by it. In a Barna research, they said that 39%, there's a majority of people that believe in a hell. But they don't believe correctly by the biblical worldview of what hell's all about. 39% of them say that hell is just eternal separation from God. And only 32% believe that it's a literal place of torment. That means the vast majority don't believe what the Bible says about hell. Here's the point. We preach salvation. Salvation is deliverance from something. You wouldn't have salvation if you needed to get away from something. And that deliverance is from hell. That's the reality of it. And that's why we need to know about it. It's fearful because of the speaker, Christ. And a lot of people today want to diminish and demean the preaching of the gospel and the truth of God's word. You know, when you talk about hell, people say you're mad. And therefore, people can overlook this whole issue of hell because they say you're mad. People can overlook people who are fanatical. They say they're fanatical. They label them fanatical because they preach on hell. And I've seen that. You say something about, well, you're just a religious fanatic. Hell is real. You need to be saved from it. You know, Christ is talking. The creator of the universe. The savior of the world. He doesn't want anyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These words come from Jesus. But most people think that Jesus is just a gentle person. They think that God is just a benevolent old man in heaven that gives everything that's good to people no matter how they live. They forget the fact that God is just and God is righteous. God is also love. God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. For God so what? Loved the world. That He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I said before that Christ preached more on this. And He basically gave some huge illustrations about you don't want to go there. He talked about this. He said, if your eye offended you, you have problems where you're looking in life, you need to pluck that out. Because it's better to go in blind or with one eye missing than to suffer in hell. If your foot offends you, cut it off. It's better you go in maimed and halt than to suffer in hell. It says, even if your hand offends you in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. He says, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. I don't like hearing that. This is too negative preaching. No, you need to understand what salvation is all about.
Amen.
Today, we will look at these two men. And we'll contrast in three ways about the differences here. And we'll learn something along the way from God's Word. First of all, we see the contrast of their lives. There was a certain rich man. It could represent anyone. But all we do know is that he was very rich. There are several things here. There's three things that talk about the amount of wealth that he had. The first of all, that he was clothed in purple. Purple is a sign of royalty. Remember when the Roman soldiers mocked Christ before he was crucified? What did they do? They put a crown of thorns on his forehead, on his head, and they put a purple robe around him, and they gave him a reed as a scepter. He said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Purple for the world, man. Royalty. This guy was somebody. He was somebody to reckon with. He was somebody to look up to. He was dressed in fine linen. The word for this linen was byssus. And it talked about not just your ordinary flax, but a very special flax that was only found in Egypt, found in India, also found in Asia. And the linen that was made from this flax was worth twice its weight in gold. It was extremely expensive. And it was a picture of someone of status. We look up at people with status and say, boy, they are somebody. I like to be like them. It said it fares sumptuously every day. The word for sumptuous means to be splendid or be magnificent. Even all the things that he ate was just the envy of everybody. He had never a doubt about his daily bread. You know, he may have been a religious man. Whatever the case may be, he was lost. Amen. He did not know God. He trusted in his riches. Christ himself said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It's not your hand that gives you your wealth. It's God. He supplies all of our needs.
Amen.
We see this certain rich man, and then we see a certain beggar who is named Lazarus. Jesus called his name. For all of us that know Christ as our Savior, he calls us by name. One day, we'll hear our name called.
Amen.
Remember the other Lazarus that was in the grave for 4 days? How was he raised? Did Lazarus come forth? You know why? Because of Christ who had resurrection power. Said, come forth. Everybody would have come forth.
Amen.
That time. Jesus called his name because Lazarus is one of his sheep, and we are his sheep of his pasture. In John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, talking about, I am the door of the sheep. And then the sheep hear his voice. Do you hear Christ today? Do you hear the truth of God's word today? And he calls his own sheep by what? Name. He knows your name.
Amen.
He knows everything about you and leadeth them out. There are some things that we don't know about the beggar. We don't know his age. We don't know how long or why he was a beggar. Why is this? We know about rich people. We see them every day. We see them on the TV. You know, people idolize them. But this certain beggar could represent any of us. These information, these details are out of, not put here because Lazarus can represent all of us from any age, from any part of life. But you know something? Beggars need something. We all need something. Rich people don't think they need anything. So, we don't know how long he was a beggar. We don't know how why he was a beggar. We do know this, is that he was around the presence of the rich man because he knew what the rich man ate. And he said, I would just want some of the crumbs from his table. So we see there that we know that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7 says this, there is that maketh himself rich, yet have nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet have great riches. There's such a contrast in this. And it's what contrast for the public to see here. Christ has given them an object lesson from real people. Some people say, well, this is just a story. No, there was a certain rich man. He did die and he went to hell. There was a certain beggar. He did die and he went to paradise. They are real things because this Bible is true.
Amen.
This Bible is true. So in the contrast for the public to see, there's one thing that's interesting. It says the rich and poor meet together. On this side of eternity, Lazarus and the rich man met together. And Lazarus could have benefited from some of the wealth of the rich man. Folks, there's people that could benefit from some of our wealth today. The rich man thought he had it all. Lazarus had nothing. But it says, rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. There is no such thing as a self-made man. God makes you. God creates you. You do with your life what you want to do. But you're going to have to answer for it at the end. So what a contrast for the public to see between the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus. But there were some things the public could not see. They did not know the peace and hope that Lazarus had. Even in his condition, he still had hope in God. Little as much when God is in it. We see in this text that Lazarus winds up with Abraham. And Abraham is someone who was told by God to leave the comfort behind where he was and go out to a place he didn't know. And we know that Abraham is a father of faith. It says, and Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. And we're the seed of Abraham if we believe. Paul uses Abraham as an illustration here in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, Lazarus may not have had a lot of stuff in this world, but he knew God. He had faith. That's what you need. You know, you can't take your 401k with you. Okay? You can't take your possessions with you. We often judge on the outside. But God judges on the heart. The public couldn't see that Lazarus had hope. That Lazarus had peace. They didn't know the emptiness that was within the rich man's heart. He had it all. Everybody would have said, he's arrived. But Luke chapter 12, verse 20 talks about of man that was all interested in making money. He said his crops yielded bountifully. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And I'll sit back and I'll say, hey, rest will be easy because you got it all. He says, thou fool, this night shall thy life be required of thee. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, he says this as a final condemnation, final judgment on this rich man that Christ was talking about. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, David said he would rather know God than anything else. Folks, that's what we need to do too. And that's such a contrast in the world today. So we see the contrast of their lives. We see the contrast of their death. In verse 22. In this verse we see three phrases. And it came to pass. After some time. We don't know how long the rich man was on this earth. We don't know how long Lazarus was on it. We don't know how long their condition is. But you know something? Judgment's coming. The time is coming. Eternity is coming. It says that it came to pass that the beggar died. The rich man also died and was buried. Lazarus died first, and that is no surprise. And here's the interesting thing about this. There are people that are not famous dying every day, and no one knows, and no one cares. Maybe their immediate family cares. But from an eternal perspective, no one really cares. You know, the hours of death can be surprising. We don't know what killed Lazarus, but we do know that he endured for some time in his condition. But the interesting thing is there was no mention of a funeral or burial for this man. He was too poor. He may have been buried in a potter's field, in a pauper's grave. He may have been burned in the valley of Hinnom. We don't know. But the issue is, Lazarus, a man that the world just didn't know, died. He winds up in a better place. It says, the rich man died also. And that's was a surprise. You know, people sometimes think, it doesn't matter if politicians are wealthy, they think they're invincible. They're not. And when they die, all of a sudden, the news is just covered with their stuff. Because that person has merit in the world system. And the world thinks that everybody looks up to him. But you know something? Wealth cannot buy life. Christ says, he says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And going back to this story about this man, it's just kept on laying up stuff for himself. He's not rich for God. Luke 12, verse 20, it says this, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That rich man was caught by surprise. Death caught him by surprise. But there's one thing that the rich and poor meet together. They meet together in death. And it says, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he was buried in status. If you look through the Bible, there's another account of the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus was his name. And Jairus came to Christ and said, my daughter is sick. By the time Christ had gotten there, she had passed. And they had professional mourners in the household. They had minstrels in the household, making music and trying to give comfort through that. You know, No one comes to the pauper's grave. No one comes to his service. And we see that great churches are filled up, places are filled up to memorialize someone who was famous. You know, those people that were at Jairus' daughter's house, when Christ said, she's not dead, she's asleep, he mocked him and said, you don't know what you're talking about. Death is staring them in the face. And they don't care. They want to do it their way. You know, probably in this rich man's house as he's buried, he's having his funeral, people are saying great things about him. How good of a man he was. How many people, he didn't help Lazarus. Christ made a good point. Talking about that, didn't help him. Maybe there was one of the religious leaders just preaching him right up in glory. Because people look on the outside. Got another alarming thing that less than 30% of preachers today have a biblical worldview. That's bad. A total biblical worldview. So we see Lazarus dies first. The rich man also died. He was buried in status. But here's the point. There is a reality of death. And what we do on this side of death determines what happens on the other side of death. And there are two places on the other side. There is a heaven and there is a hell. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says that it's appointed unto man once to die. We all face death. Don't talk about that. No, God wants you prepared for it today. He wants you prepared for today. After this is judgment. God, is not going to judge me? Yes, He will. And the ultimate judgment is, do you know Him as your Savior? We see the contrast of the two lives. We see the contrast of their deaths. And then we see the contrast of their experiences and eternity. The Bible, the text says, in verse 22, it says that Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We briefly touched on this a couple Sunday nights ago. But when the Old Testament saints died, they did not go to heaven. They went someplace else. They went to a place called paradise. It's a place before Christ's resurrection because redemption hadn't heard. Hebrews chapter 11 lists a whole bunch of people that said they have not received the promise. On the cross, Christ was crucified between two thieves. And it talks about the choice. There are two choices. You either believe or you disbelieve. You either go to hell or you go to heaven. Amen. One of the thieves came to his senses in his dying hours and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, it says, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Abraham's bosom. Because the Bible says that Christ, when he died, went down and preached to the spirits in prison.
Amen.
Lazarus was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. That's not the place that we will go. The reason they went there is because Christ hadn't resurrected yet. If you remember the Easter story, Mary sees Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and she wants to hold him. He said, don't touch him, because I have him ascended my Father in heaven. See, Christ had to place his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Hebrews talks about that. The place of all saints after Christ's resurrection is now heaven. Those in paradise were taken away. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking about who? Christ! He led captivity captive. Who? The ones who were waiting for Christ. The ones who were waiting for redemption. The ones who were doing all the symbols, all the shadows of things that were going to come, and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? The place of all saints after Christ's resurrection is now heaven. Those in paradise are taken. Abraham's bosom does not exist anymore. For believers now, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident. Are you confident today? Are you confident where you'll spend eternity? Paul was. And you know what helped him get through some bad times? It helped him to keep preaching the gospel. It says, we are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know why? Because that was the plan of God. That was a plan of God. Right before Christ was crucified, in John chapter 4, verse 14, verse 6, the disciples said, we don't know where he's going. They were troubled because Christ said, I'm going to die. John 14, verse 6, Christ says this, and Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, past, present, or future, cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Christ redeemed Old Testament saints the same way he redeemed us now, through the cross. Christ had to go to the cross. He had to shed his blood. He had to be buried. He had to be resurrected. He had to ascend into heaven. He had to put his blood on the mercy seat as to satisfy the sacrifice for sin and the payment before God the Father. And now we have access through his grace. We're justified. We have peace through God. The rich man, however, awoke in hell. This is my warning to you. Do you know him then? The rich man did not do it. It was a painful punishment. It said he being in torment. That means he had to feel. He had to see. He had to think. He was aware of what was going on in his life. It was a painful punishment. Luke chapter 13, verse 28, Christ says this, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, I had a chance and I didn't do it. And for eternity, you'll have to live with that choice. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. You can't be baptized for the death. No one can pray your way out of hell.
Amen.
Once you're there, you're there. And all you have waiting for you is the lake of fire.
Amen.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Rich man woke in hell. He was in torment. It was a permanent punishment. He said, there's a great gulf fixed in our text. You can't get to Abraham, and Abraham can't get to you. In the same way today. Mark chapter 9, verse 44 says this, where their worm dieth not. Here's an interesting thing. Each one has an individual torment. Mm-hmm. Their worm, individual, dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. In Matthew 24 and 25, Christ talks about the second coming. Matthew 13, he gives parables about heaven. The wheat and the tares. And he said that the tares or loaves that do not know God and the angels in the end time gathered them up and they're burned. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, it says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Talking about people who said, you had an opportunity to serve me and you didn't. And they said, well, where did we have the opportunity? We didn't know! That rich man didn't know he was going to die that day. Ignorance is no excuse. You can look up outside and see the majesty of God today.
Right.
He shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into what? Life eternal. I give unto them life. No man will take it away. But you know something, as I close, the rich man had great concern about his brother. Those who are in hell today don't want to be there. Those who are in hell today don't want anybody to join them. And for all those fools that say that there's going to be a party down there, and I'll just live my life, no, it's not. No, it's not. Your worm dieth not. The fire is never quenched. You would just be lucky for one drop of water. He wanted to send Lazarus back because he had five brothers. He said, I don't want to come down here. You know, the rich man's concern in hell surpasses the concern of most Christians today. Christ gives a parable about a certain king who went to take his kingdom. He had 10 servants, and he gives them a talent of money each. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 13, he says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. This word for occupy, you be busy. The Bible says, watch. The Bible says, redeeming the time. The Bible says, the night is coming when no man can work. Occupy till I come. There were those that were faithful, and there was one that just took what he had and just threw it back at God. And he didn't do what God wanted him to do. Are you doing what God wants you to do today by witnessing? That's the Great Commission. We all need to do it. That's why we do VBS. That's why we have church here today. It's to save people from hell.
Right.
Because it's a place that you don't want to go to. He wanted Lazarus to come back from the dead. Abraham's answer was, hey, you have Moses, you have the entire Old Testament. You can read this. Oh, but if one comes back from the dead, we'll believe him. There has been one come back from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He resurrected. And he gives power to forgive sins and give eternal life and for you to escape hell. Have you received him today? Romans chapter 10, verse 17, as I close. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Not some experience. Not some feeling. Not some process. It's God's purpose. It's God's purpose. I want to close with this final thought. No man is prepared to live until you're prepared to die. Well, this has been a harsh sermon today. You know, reality is harsh. And the people who choose to ignore it will have a harsh reality one day.
Amen.
And you need to understand that. And don't mock at it. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, accept His free gift of salvation. That was one of the things we talked about in VBS. We talked about the consummation. Those believing Christ go to heaven. Those who believe, don't believe, go to eternity in hell. Do you care about those who die lost? Or are we just thinking of them like Lazarus? Just die, inconspicuous. No one cared. No great funeral. No burial. People can't come back from the grave and tell. The ones who are alive need to tell.
Right.
We need to tell them today. Has God spoken to your heart today? If He has, you need to respond to Him. You may not have another chance. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day, Lord. We ask that you just be with us by invitation. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, for us, help us to look on the fields that are ripe in the harvest and to be willing to share the gospel to all we meet. Help us be obedient to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.